gave you my heart, and I tried to make you happy. And you gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, would you please just go away?
Back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106, 534 minutes after the hour. On what's left of this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Jeff's biggest fan. That's actually somebody with that moniker as their text name. I listen to you every day, and I never did get that pin. I have no idea what you're talking about there. But anyway, thanks for the feedback. Joining us now on the line, glad to always introduce this guest. He's our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Beautiful day in South Alabama.
Good to be back from South Dakota, or would you rather be back up there shooting pheasant?
Man, it's nice to take a break and get up there, but it was a beautiful morning today down on the water. Had the governor down to officially cut the ribbon on the big ICW boat ramp down there in Orange Beach, and just the weather cooperated. It's awfully pretty.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Big festivities there, the new boat ramp. Talk to us a little bit about that. Why is this something that's going to draw Governor Ivey down our way?
Well, she played a big part in getting the funding for it. We used Go Mesa money, the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act funding for it. The state and the county get portions of that money that's derived from offshore oil and gas leases. And it goes to coastal communities. And now, thanks to a bill that the governor signed that I sponsored, it will only go to coastal communities, Mobile and Baldwin County in the state. So we don't have to worry about it running off to North Alabama. But we use that money for... to really offset the impacts of offshore drilling, but also to increase our water access for the public. And that's just so very important to me. You know, I'm blessed to live on the water. My kids are blessed to, you know, catch a fish every day if they want to. But it's important to me that the public, you know, from all over the state and everywhere in Baldwin County has ease of access to the water. And this boat launch, you know, 47 acres, hundreds of places to park a boat in good, straight ramps now to get in and out of the water with your boat of any size. Really on the north side of the Intracoastal, so you don't have to go across the bridge, you don't have to get in Orange Beach traffic, and you're just, you know, 15 minutes from a bushwhacker at Pirates Cove by boat then. It just works out so well for so many. And you know, the governor and DCNR Commissioner Blankenship were instrumental in helping me secure about $10 million worth of funding to purchase that land. Again, 47 acres there on the water, obviously isn't cheap. And then to the commission, the Baldwin County Commission, which I used to serve on, I'm very proud of them for continuing to, you know, grab the ball, run forward, and see it through to fruition to construct it using, again, the county's portion of Go Mesa money. So important funding and an important project, and just so glad to see it on the ground and going.
Another thing, we were talking about this off air. Obviously, I feel like the beach bridge discussion's been kind of beat to death, but it is what it is. Joint Transportation Committee, the oversight mechanism of Rebuild Alabama. Any news there?
You know, that's one of those things that that I brought up again. Not necessarily the rift between the Beach Express folks, the toll bridge folks, and the state on which bridge. My concern with that project and what I was really hammering in the Joint Transportation Committee is the project that ALDOT has let is incomplete. It only goes to County Road 4. And dumping, you know, 30,000 cars a day on a road, an east-west two-lane county road that doesn't really have good connections either way is a really bad idea. As a matter of fact, it's on the same road that the boat launch, the ICW launch is on. With no good connection back to the Beach Express itself. And to think that you're going to have motorists coming down the Beach Express and go through five different, and I went that way this morning, five different 90-degree turns to get to this bridge, and that is going to effectively move traffic off of Highway 59, I just think it's not going to happen. unless ALDOT commits to building the balance of this road. Now, if you go on their website, the whole project's there. If you look at the public hearings that they had on it years ago, the whole project's there. You know, my push is, listen, if this is the way you're going to go, if you're not going to deal with the bridge company, which I think both you and I can agree was a pretty darn generous offer, but if you're going to throw that away and you're not going to deal with them, then you have to complete the entire project, which will top $100 million by the time they're over. It's over with. But if you're going to stand out there and say the bridge company solution wasn't going to solve the problem, then you darn sure can't propose a solution that you know is not going to solve the problem. That's half of a solution at best. And so I am encouraging ALDOT, their chief engineer, the director, to continue to move forward with the balance of that project to make sure that we have a real solution to the problem to get people on and off the island. Building the bridge is or extra lanes, whether that's the toll company building on extra lanes or ALDOT building extra lanes, is only one part of it. You've got to have the supporting and connecting infrastructure to get people to that bridge. And that's just something that's not in the plan right now, hasn't been let right now, and still seems to have both some legal troubles and some practical troubles and some funding troubles. And that's frustrating, knowing that we had a potential for a deal with the bridge company, and now that is obviously gone. So here we are completely and totally dependent on ALDOT, which is a scary place for me to be.
That's a scary place for a lot of us to be. It's not like we haven't been through this situation before with ALDOT, but life goes on, I suppose. Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, something else on the radar here. This, for those of us in Baldwin County, the Alabama Limited Self-Governance Act on the ballot, talk to us a little bit about this.
So that's a piece of legislation that was passed back in 2005. This will be a blast from the past for you, by a guy named Lowell Barron, that gave limited government to counties. And I used to be a county commissioner. If there was a referendum that the people allowed their county commission to have limited self-governance. And what that does is it gives the county commission really some ordinance authority that is not inherent in county commission county commissioner powers right now, and really does reside with the state legislature. You know, most people think that county commissioners are really kind of like a city council for the whole county. In truth, county commissioners have both a kind of a legislative function and an executive function all wrapped into one, because there's not a countywide mayor, if you will. But county commissions don't have the ability to levy taxes. They don't have the ability to pass a lot of ordinances like municipalities have. And this county commission has decided that they'd like to ask for that authority from the people. And it really is kind of a scope of government type thing. Do you want your county commission to have more ability to regulate you or not? And I think you'll find, and what I've seen is that a lot of folks are a little nervous about that, this county commission or any county commission having more authority. It'll give them the ability to come up with ordinances that deal with the abatement of weeds, animal control. You know, does your dog have to be on a leash? Litter control. And then, you know, noise ordinances and things of that nature. So for the Baldwin County voters that are listening, I would simply say you need to decide if you want your county commission controlling some of those more municipal feeling things or not. And it's very much going to be on the ballot here just in over a week. And it's going to be something that's kind of important to how life works in Baldwin County.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's interesting that people think county commission, they think just a county version of a city council, but it doesn't. A lot of the powers that maybe city councils have for counties, that's kind of wrapped up in the legislature, and there's more involved there. There's less local control. Is that fair?
It is. It's also a way to limit government. It really is. You know, when you start thinking about the powers of a municipality, man, they can tell you all kinds of things. How high your grass can be, you know, whether or not your dog's got to be on a leash, how loud you can play your music, you know, whether or not your lawnmower or your peanut harvesting is creating too much dust. And And a lot of folks live in the county because they don't want somebody right. to be able to tell them those types of things. And I've always, you know, in my time in public service, said, you know, the easiest thing for me would be if people that wanted to live in a city and be subject to those rules and regulations, go live in a city. And people that don't, go live in a county where you're not subject to those laws and regulations, and there's not that expectation of governments. And I'll tell you, I've recently moved from the city into the county, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, and I, you know, you never think of that. Like the homeowners association and the rules, and where you got to put your garbage can by the curb. And I mean, you're talking to a guy who lives in Fairhope, so I know all about strict city government. But that's why people leave and go to the county. They don't want that conformity. They don't want that regulation. So this, I guess, would kind of the brakes on that.
It does, and it gives the county commission the authority to really deal with a lot of things that traditionally they wouldn't otherwise deal with. Again, noise, dust, things of that nature, and of course, that's got the Farmers Federation and the farmers around Baldwin County very concerned, right? As this county continues to change, as more people move into it, you know, they're worried that, hold on, is this county commission going to start talking about what I'm doing from an agricultural standpoint and how that impacts the subdivision that's next to me that used to be a field? And how is that going to impact me in my way of life? So I think you will see a big push from the Farmers Federation to vote no on this issue.
Do county commissions really even want this much power? I mean, I'm sure some do, maybe some don't. But it's hard for me to see that this being. I mean, maybe I'm totally incorrect here and off base. But do you hear a lot of clamoring from the Baldwin County Commission for this?
No, I'll tell you right now, they've passed a resolution that, you know, I mean, this is something that this commission has asked for. But I'll tell you, you know, I used to sit in that chair, and I, as a commissioner, would not want this authority. I would much rather say, you know, listen, this as a commission, that we have limited authority to regulate these things. I wouldn't want to be in a position where I've got, you know, a bunch of folks complaining about the noise next door. That's not what I focused on as a commissioner. I focused on roads and infrastructure, you know, school funding and economic development. I don't want to be, you know, just like a big city council person. I wouldn't want to do that as a commissioner at all.
Well, are they worried that, you know, like you see this around Fairhope that, you know, they don't want any more strip malls or big box stores, and then they're going to the very edge of the city out in the county. How, you know, they can't, can they regulate that? I mean, is the growth part of the concern here, I guess?
I think it is, but I think the solution to that is those areas need to annex into a city, right? If you're one of those people that wants to have that type of government, oversight and regulation, that's fine. Go move into a city. You know, either go live there, or as the city municipality continues to grow, ask to be annexed into the city.
What if the city doesn't want that? What if you know, like, you know, there's a sizable contingent of people in this city that don't want any more Starbucks? Or, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I see where they're coming from. Like, we have too much growth. You heard that during this campaign cycle from some candidates. We need to control growth. I'm not trying to play devil's advocate intentionally here, but that's the best I could figure is that, well, you see a Publix going up at the edge of town or where Walmart, and is it just because the city is the one that doesn't want them to be a part of their city?
Well, I will tell you, I don't know of a municipality that wouldn't want a Publix or the sales tax revenue associated with it in their municipality. And I think that if you see a new Publix going up, it's going up in a city somewhere, or they're trying to annex it. But this referendum really deals with the authority of the county commission to, in my mind, act more like a city council, to pass ordinances that are more quality of life ordinances, again, that deal with dust, animals, noise, things of that like that, that you would expect to find in the county, and that you would expect tighter regulation of and about in the city. And my point would be that it doesn't necessarily deal with growth in any way, other than that there are a lot of people that are moving into the county that think that there should be regulation of, you know, noise, dust, you know, and things of that nature. And I worry as we grow that we may be losing what it is to live in the county, that may be going away. And I'm just not sure that's a good thing for Baldwin County. You want to live in a city, you want to be regulated like that, go for it. But don't bring those value, you know, that level of regulation, that level of government into the county. That's just my opinion. I don't think it's necessarily a good idea. But the good news is everybody gets to vote on it that lives in the county, municipal voters excluded. And we'll see what the results of that are.
Hey, we'll wrap it up on this, Senator. The election coming up, I don't think there'll be too many surprises, but you know, the one race I guess we're looking at in the upper chamber there, Senator Butler, he seems to be in pretty good shape. Everything's going to go as expected in this cycle, you think?
I really do think so. I think Senator Butler, my friend Tom Butler, is going to do well. You know, of course, as this state changes, especially revolving around the federal jobs that are coming into the north part of the state, you know, the districts become more purple, if you will, or more Democrat voters that come in, more folks that like bigger government that come in. And you know, it changed the makeup, if you will, of his district. So I think, though, that people will see the value in what Senator Butler's been able to accomplish. I think he'll end up being successful, and I think we'll see a lot of the same faces in the caucus here in just a week or so.
All right. Well, we'll get you out of here. As always, we appreciate it, and we'll do this all again next week.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that was State Senator Chris Elliott there on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Forrest Show at FM Talk 106.5. Too much, baby.